All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and this is just some extended comments, thoughts, feelings on season two.
Bringing up the diversity angle again, the all-female squad, they kind of rode in. They looked like they were competent and would be able to destroy stuff. Katie Sagoff is not a lightweight. Sasha Banks is not a lightweight. They are athletic individuals. Ming-Na Wen handled herself. It didn't feel like that they were going to throw plot armor up to kind of deflect anything. But again, it all felt extremely organic, played off and everything. I don't know who is masterminding this. I've seen this, like, again, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni mapped it out and laid things out the way they wanted to. And I said this before, like about 3-4 episodes ago, final condemnation of the sequel mess, rest of the Star Wars franchise, I think, ever since it came to Disney. Your failure is complete now. That's how you do it. We did it in a fraction of
the point they resurrected Luke Skywalker in his prime to show you that he should not just be drinking green milk out of the teat. He should not be throwing away his lightsaber. He should not just be kind of this angry old man on this distant planet waiting to
die.
Yeah. I even watched The Last Jedi. I just needed to see everything again. Maybe like the last 15 minutes of it. So when Luke Skywalker shows up and it's like, yeah, see what they were trying to do. But then here comes Rey, lifting rocks off the mountain. Like,
with no training.
Yeah. 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 Go look at that face CG that they had for that one small training montage for Leia. And I was like, yeah, well, Luke Skywalker looks okay in that one. Like, what did you guys do?
I don't understand how. Well, you know what? Let me backtrack on that. I do understand. They gave Star Wars to the wrong creative. And
they gave it to J.J. Abrams, and he destroyed Star Trek. They continue to follow J.J. Abrams' lead on Star Trek.
And so J.J. Abrams, I went back and I looked at some of the reactions to the original Force Awakens trailer. And it was basically everyone just, oh my God, I feel like this is how Star Wars was when I first watched it again. Thank you so much. Checked off on everything it was. And then you watch the movie and you're like, icing. There's no cake in there. Bowl full of gravy, but you got no meat. It's all the frilly, floofy mess and zero substance. And then you try to build something off it. I think there was even somebody saying that Abrams' original take for episodes 8 was supposed to be more grounded and tell a different story. But I think that's bullshit. That's something they probably put together to try to save face.
Somebody signed off on what Kathleen Kennedy wanted to do, Last Jedi. Right. Somebody signed off on that. You're making all these decisions about one character, and ultimately that one character affects the whole arc of Star Wars. Rey just needed to be powerful just because she needed to be powerful, that you become powerful from nothing. That destroyed this 30-some-odd year legacy of Star Wars. That you had to bring Luke Skywalker out of retirement in The Mandalorian to fix the 30-some-odd years that one movie destroyed. I guess 2 to 3 minutes that he's in The Mandalorian at least fixes some of his problems. You still got these trash movies out there.
Validate what was going on in there, because in the book Heir to the Empire, it's 5 years after Return of the Jedi when Grand Admiral Thrawn returned to the New Republic to try to revive the Empire. That timeline fits in with the storyline from the expanded universe when it first kicked off. Should have been done in the first damn place. You tell a good story, you leave the damage in the politics out. I mean, if you have to, you start with the characters. You don't start with the race of the characters or the gender of the characters. I'll go back to Star Trek and something Avery Brooks said. He was talking to fans at a convention. And for those people who don't know, Avery Brooks played Captain Benjamin Sisko on Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
I have to give it to Picard, but Sisko's right up there. 1A and 1B.
The most realistic of all the captains. Military personnel, but they've had commanding officers who are just like that.
Like jazz. And like baseball.
Single father, widower. I mean, he was so different from everything else out there that it was on point.
And apparently a god.
Pretty much. A fan asked him a question, what was it like playing the first black captain? And he says, I don't know how to play a race. I don't know how to play color. I myself as an actor took the character of Sisko and I acted as the character of Sisko. I took him a single father who loved to cook, despondent and destroyed by the events that took place previous to his getting there, and was doing the best he could in these fantastical situations. That is the character I played. That is exactly how you make a character-driven show like one of the best character-driven shows out there that ever came out. You start with a character, you start with your story, you just fill in the blanks. Then you put the right actors and actresses in those roles, and that's it. You get an episode like this, where you have this insanely diverse cast just drops in out of nowhere, comes together, none of them are out of place, everyone has something to contribute. Would not be surprised if they decide to come up with a series called The Marshal with Gina Carano.
I mean, again, I think that they are making some smart decisions. I mean, compared to things in the movies, that you really don't want spinoffs of that stuff.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
There's nothing to spin off with. Like,
yeah, and I mean, again, I guess Star Trek's kind of going through some of this. They're reaching, as I said, I'm not sure if you know what's going on in Star Trek, but they brought back the Guardian Forever from the original series.
Wait.
Big rock with a hole.
Yeah.
They're trying to split off Discovery into, I guess, another Prime timeline versus Discovery timeline versus, like, all this stuff happening.
They've done this so well. I mean, this is just how you do it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. They did a great job with just every aspect. Everyone had played their position. They played it well. No one was overshadowed. No one was underutilized. It was well done, the emotional beats. If you paid attention to this whole series from season one up until now, you see the change in the Mandalorian. Again, he seemed kind of cold and calculated. Down the road, he's still cold, calculated, but yet he's becoming a little bit softer in reference to Grogu. It would have been a major disservice if that wasn't displayed. They had to show the conclusion of the attachment, because everyone saw that he had an attachment to the kid. Mm-hmm. Everyone saw that. How are they going to do it? How are they going to show his emotional attachment once he had to give up the child? And they did a great job with that. He showed emotion, but not emotion to the point that it took away from his character. He did like a little thug tear that he really did not want to give Grogu away. But he understood that for him to progress, he had to. I don't have any children, but I'm assuming that this is how parents feel when your children leave the house. Your children are grown. They're about to go out on their own. You're happy for them, but yet at the same time, you don't want them to leave. You love them. You're attached to them. So for them to go into that direction and to show what they showed, that was great. The women coming in, kicking ass and just showing out was well done. It was not forced, very organic. That's what caught my attention after me watching it 3 or 4 times. And for me to watch it 3 or 4 times and then just finally realize on the 3rd or 4th time that, oh, wow. These are all women. I didn't really pay attention to that because I was so enamored with the story. That's how you do it. It should be a smooth transition, not forced, not so obvious. Someone mentioned Avengers. That was totally forced. Totally forced. It was a horrible job. This one, it was just so organic. You didn't even realize it. You just went along with it. And it was well done. Seeing Luke come in and just wreck shop the way he did was a beautiful sight. I could not control myself watching that. It was just so good to see. It was so good to see. The way they would fix that Skywalker thing, man, just cast Sebastian Stan and call it a day. That's all you have to do. It's not you don't already have him under contract for other Disney properties. Like, you got him under contract for Marvel. So we'll just throw him in there for this.
I assume there's somebody out there with some dope Luke Skywalker cosplay photos that looks better than that crap.
Oh. I mean, he looks just like him. He looks just like him, just, well, a taller version and probably, like, more bulky, but he has the same features as a young Mark Hamill. Why not do it? Just go ahead and do it, and your problem solved. That's it. That's all you need to do. But this is perhaps one the best episode I've seen. I'm just so excited for the 3rd season. And this is the thing I'm not sure on what they're going to do. I'm going to assume that because he has a Darksaber now, even though he yielded to Bo-Katan, she's not going to just take it.
That's where that conflict's going to come from. She's got to take it from him, so she's got to fight him for it. And there's no kind of real ritual challenge. Mm-hmm. And even if he fights him for it and he surrenders, he's not just going to lose a fight.
Din Djarin going to try to go back and take over Mandalore, or restore Mandalore, I should say. And if he does, what's going to happen with Bo-Katan? Because I would say he doesn't care about the throne, but once Moff Gideon put in his ear that she can't just take it from him. She has to, like, literally fight you and beat you in order to get it, and she wants the throne. Monkey wrenches the situation.
About to turn us into a gladiator. So Din Djarin is the actual true king of Mandalore.
His beliefs, how serious are they? Do they even still exist anymore? He bends the rules. So like I said, I think that's going to be one thing that they're going to go with is he does sit on the throne. Is he going to start telling everybody, you can't take the damn helmet off. You already know how the creed goes. Or is he going to start leaning more towards, you can take it off when he wants to, and maybe see that his ways and these ancient ways aren't the way that he needs to go. That whole thing is going to be interesting next season. I don't think Grogu's gone forever, but I don't think we get him next season. Like I said,
No. He's going to be gone for at least a season.
By his time for him to grow some, get training, and when he comes back, it's not just, like I said, just him making little faces and playing with the shift knob and eating frog eggs and shit.
Maybe the way they're going to bring him in is that he may say the Mandalorian's ass one time.
Species age is real slow, so right now he's at a toddler stage. You talking about
that's true.
10-year-old or something like that. Like, I'm not going to be the Padawan stage for another 20 years, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I know he's not gone forever because the moneymaker right there. So Disney will let him be gone forever. But I do think you're going to get a nice break. And like I said, refocus on Din Djarin and bring him back later. So some of the series is supposed to all interconnect and kind of intertwine. So you may end up seeing him pop up on like a Ahsoka series or something else and not necessarily on the Mandalorian.
Like Netflix did their Marvel series. That would make more sense. The series in the same universe interconnected and with a Universal Endgame to kick off.
Probably. I mean, it feels like they're going the MCU type direction with everything.
I mean, I guess they make Thrawn the Thanos.
That will work. Trust me, Thrawn is the shit, dude. Master Manipulator, the only alien to be given that title or be given command of a fleet of that scale by Palpatine. He was that badass. Plus, he looks the part. I mean, blue skin, glowing red eyes.
Yeah, Pacquiao already said he's already rooting for Benedict Cumberbatch to play Thrawn.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Great.
Pacquiao was like, he's the only dude that can play that character. I'm dead serious. He's like, once somebody's in the House of the Mouse, anything's possible because you're already part of the family, so you'll get taken care of.
And why would you not want to be part of something that's, like, popping right now?
No bad robot at all anywhere in there.
Yeah. Well, no, I was going to say, I think if anything, say Kathleen Kennedy should feel horrible at her failure, but I think this would be, like, the literal ribbon wrapping that gift up, because I go back to the statement that she made with the new films, that their plan was to not worry about the old generation of Star Wars fans, but to create a new generation. This just proved that you could take the old stuff and create a whole new generation of fans. You did not have to do the bullshit that you did.
Mm-hmm.
Because this series alone, there's some kids who never saw Star Wars who have now watched Mandalorian and will go back and watch all the fucking movies to try to figure out what the hell is going on and have become fans.
They're watching Return of the Jedi right now. Then they got to watch the other ones. Then they have to watch the prequels. All those movies all over again.
She failed at her goal, and two dudes with the blessing of George Lucas completely succeeded at it. And the shame of it all is the fact that George Lucas now apparently is back in the fold. So now you got to deal with that shit all the time. Have conversations all the time. Not only has Lucas been on set, but like they've, from what I'm understanding, the stuff I'm reading, he's been involved in conversations with the actors and actresses, casting people. There's a rumor now that they've already talked to Adam Driver, and he's excited to come back as a Force ghost or some shit later on down the line. Hayden, Lucas has been involved in every last one of those conversations, from what I understand.
After the prequels ended, they were like, what are you going to do next? Because Revenge of the Sith ended on like a high note creatively, because it was at that level. People were like, that was some good shit. He kept trying to work to do a Darth Vader TV series. And it was supposed to be a TV series that would take place and show right after Revenge of the Sith all the way up to A New Hope. The Empire purging the Last of the Jedi, conquering everything, and the rebellion getting started. Mon Mothma and everything. It's interesting that now it's all kicking off with this series. And it almost feels like it's all now is swinging back to Lucas's original vision. Now that he kind of let Disney do their thing. You ready to listen to wisdom? I'm even kind of excited to see Cassian's series, that dude from Rogue One. I'm even kind of pumped to see what his show is going to be about.
Yeah, I'm ready for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's going to be kind of heartbreaking in a way, unless Obi-Wan was getting into some shit and he wasn't always on Tatooine.
that he was getting into some shit. Because if not, then how do you have a series at all? But I know that the latest thing I heard was Tamir Morrison got cast in that as well, and he's not playing Boba Fett. So the rumor is he's going to play the live-action version of Rex from Clone Wars.
God damn. Well, that'll sell it.
Which kind of goes back to the line that Sasha Banks said in this episode to him of, you're just a clone. I've heard your voice a bunch of times or some shit like that. Basically saying, like, Boba Fett, you ain't shit. Like, I've seen you all over the place, and I can give a fuck. Kathleen Kennedy's still around, so that pisses me off, but has no real say-so anymore. I could care less now.
She took credit for that. I mean, because technically she did sign off on Boba Fett and Obi-Wan series.
I'm thoroughly convinced that Favreau, Filoni, and George Lucas sat down and told her, shut the fuck up and collect the check. I said, she has no argument anymore at all. What are you going to say? Your three movies are complete shit compared to this one series.
But they made so much damn money. I mean, they all made a billion, over a billion.
I know, but you were going to do that anyway.
That's true.
Again, you inherited the biggest franchise ever. You had one job, one fucking job, not to fuck it up. And you did. She shouldn't have an office anymore. She should be on the fucking street. And I don't wish that on anybody, but her, I wouldn't mind. She needs to get fired.
Anyone else would have got fired.
Man, Iger took the blame for that Star Wars stuff in the first place. Because he stepped down right after the hate storm that came out from Rise of Skywalker.
No, because at the end of the day, he's CEO. He could have stopped it. But
well, it was his idea to bring in Abrams. He said, bring Abrams back. And then Abrams did something worse. You couldn't even come up with anything worse than that. They wanted to erase The Last Jedi. All they had to do was make it look like it was some kind of fever dream. Like, something.
Well, honestly, man, with this, I think they just kind of erased the last trilogy, in my opinion.
I don't know if they're necessarily erasing it. I think now, like I said before, I think they're just going to do whatever they want to do. It's like, you know they exist, but you don't think about them or you forget about them. Like, there's times I literally forget Chris Evans was Human Torch. See it on, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. He was that before he was Captain America. Oh, whatever. The three movies are going to become. Like, they're going to work around it. People were saying Moff Gideon, what he got, Grogu's blood, is probably the cloning thing and how Snoke became. So you're still tying into it a little bit, but you're not going full-fledged like we're going to say names and go there. You hint at it, but we're not really going to discuss it at all, sort of thing.
As long as they don't mention anything about that whole...
Yeah.
Palpatine is just waiting in on the Sith planet. What was the name of that Sith planet? Sithopia? Whatever the fuck it was called. I can't remember half that, what the mess that went down the last movie. As long as they don't mention any of that mess, just like pretend it didn't happen. I just want to forget that that mess happened. The kind of sucky part is that I watched the ending to Return of the Jedi with my wife after we watched The Mandalorian, because I was explaining to her, like, this takes place 5 years after Return of the Jedi. So Luke Skywalker is a full-blown kick-ass Jedi. That's why he's kicking ass like that without breaking a sweat. And she's like, oh, you know, I remember the scene at the end of the Return of the Jedi when they were all singing. All right, we'll watch that. I sat there and watched. Look how happy they are. And guess what? In 20 years, two of them will get killed by one of their offspring. One's just going to fade away into nothing, just abandon everybody.
More!
One gets killed by his own son. This is a hot mess. Lando gains 100 pounds and makes bedroom eyes at his own daughter. I'm hopeful that more shows like this will just keep erasing that whole series out of my head, all that together, those sequel trilogies out of my head forever.
Yeah, but I did kind of go back and watch all the good classic sequences. And again, what I was saying about Luke Skywalker, throughout all the prequels, the George Lucas prequels, I can remember every lightsaber scene that meant something in that. Specifically, Revenge of the Sith. That was just a masterclass and greatness. And also that Dooku Yoda fight. Yoda's there flipping around. And you get to see him in his prime. It was like, whatever J.J. Abrams decided to do, let's make the lightsabers cooler. If you put a hilt and make it look like fire, it's coming out. That doesn't really do anything. Nor do you see... Yeah. And what is memorable, as far as lightsabers are concerned, from the J.J. Abrams trilogy, other than Luke Skywalker throws away the lightsaber?
Well, it's the mystery of trying to figure out how the lightsaber from Cloud City ended up worlds away and why the heck is it so super important, and I don't even want to think about it. It was just so dumb. I just remember all the disappointing things that it did.
I just remember us watching the movie, drinking, and that shit, it didn't make it better.
I also remember Abrams, it was a new scene leading up to the movie, building up the hype. He's a great hype man. We're filming this in 35 millimeter film. And we're going to film on location puppets and actual physical effects. I'm like, okay, happy days. We're going to use miniatures as well because we're going to capture the original Star Wars feel. So I'm looking at this mess. Oh, look at that. You spent $1 million on these makeup effects and they're in the film for like 1.5 seconds. I'm not feeling any wonderment at this mess. One thing that Star Wars did not need was better special effects. That's not where the prequels failed. It's not the special effects. Prequel problems were acting and making a story that was relevant to the audience that they were pushing for. I'm not saying that the story wasn't there and that the story wasn't good. I'm saying making a story that was relevant to their audience. Instead, we get a fan service movie. It had nothing of substance in it. No one behind the scenes, okay, who is this person? How did Kylo Ren do this? And what is he going to do for the next two films? He's a mystery. We'll discover that later. I remember watching it, the first movie. That man does not know what any of these answers to any of these questions are. Guarantee he does not know a single one of those answers. Who the Knights of Ren? We still don't know. What the heck was a Snoke? Why would you call your villain Snoke? We don't know. It's like stuff to be done because it looked cool and dazzling. The fun part about Star Wars for me was always that every character in Star Wars had a story behind them. Every item had some kind of a story. Mace Windu had the cool looking lightsaber specifically because Mace Windu was unique. Samuel Jackson just wanted a purple lightsaber. Lore wise, there was a whole story behind it on why that was the case. They try to come up with the same thing for the sequel trilogy and they failed miserably. Glad Star Wars is on the rise. Sad that Star Trek is trash city, and what I'm hearing from Barry, it doesn't sound like it's going to get better anytime soon. A great purging needs to happen in order for Star Trek to finally succeed, and I'm afraid that purging will come at our detriment.
Well, every episode, Michael Burnham is crying for some reason.
Oh, for God's sakes. Okay, come on now. You know, I remember being super excited for this show.
Damn, Mike Burnham, I thought it was Rick Burnham. Rick?
No. There's a character named Michael Burnham.
And she is a Mary Sue.
And she is Spock's sister, technically, somehow.
It's the biggest fan service. It's like literally someone who just wrote myself into this story.
It's like, instead of there being twins, they were triplets. And now Luke and Leia also have like a brother or a sister. That breaks everything. That's just stupid. Why would you do that? It's like, oh, well, this is your new Star Wars, everybody.
Fan of Star Wars who was loved Han Solo was like, this guy is Han Solo's mechanic. You don't see him because he got left behind one day. It doesn't work, and it sounds forced. No need for it. Crews were never really interconnected. The Next Generation didn't have a real connection other than the Enterprise name to the original Enterprise. Yeah, there was always these very loose and very vague connections, and that was
it. Well, it was like Bones, Scotty, and Kirk showed up in Generations, but Bones was in the very first episode.
They just called him the Admiral, but he just walked around the ship and that was it. But there were no other really connections like that. I think Voyager had a connection. Now originally going to have Michelle Forbes, who played Ensign Ro, she was going to be the pilot. The actress opted to not do it because she thought it was beneath her or something. I don't know, or she wanted more money. Spock's sister, where did that even come from?
Got Boba Fett and the Return of Luke Skywalker in the same season.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you might bring back Han Solo next season. I don't know.
They screwed that movie up too. They used that same face software. I don't know. Get the actor that was in Solo. But no, you can't because this is after, so.
Yeah, no, I think he's been poisoned. I don't think he wants to come back. He got pretty much the short end of the stick on the whole Disney market there because they count Solo as being the only Star Wars movie that lost money.
It was actually better than the main trilogy movies.
A lot of money because they end up reshooting how much of it?
I mean, it wasn't better than Rogue One, but it was better than the trilogy movies. So.
Actually, I'll put it up there right alongside Rogue One, actually. I mean, the only downside was when they put that mess in there with the droid revolution and Lando just holding the droid parts and stuff. Like
the budget for that movie was $275 million. So almost $300 million.
Hold up. You said it was $275 million. How much did the movie actually make, though?
It didn't break a billion. I know
$392 million.
That's all it made?
I mean, it had some profit, but it didn't double.
Yeah.
That's low as shit.
bad. Oof, I know it was that bad.
You're considered a dud for Star Wars, really.
Yeah, it's a fucked up dud. Jesus Christ.
$392 million.
Technically, by movie standards, it was successful because it made its money back and had a profit. But
no, it didn't make its money back.
If it costs $275 million to make, right? And you
said they don't count. Don't mean to cut you off, but if you break even in the movies,
mm-hmm.
theaters don't make money off of the movies itself, the movie ticket sales. Exactly. So if a movie's only making X amount, makes its budget back in studios at that amount,
mm-hmm.
and the theaters are paying X amount of money to get that movie.
Ah.
So
yeah, that's a bomb.
It doesn't count that. And then not only that, you got to count advertising. They say advertising usually counts for almost as much as the movie cost to make in order to advertise it, and they get worldwide distribution as well.
Well, it's a bomb. I didn't know it was that bad. Fuck, that's horrible.
For that to be considered a success, it probably wouldn't need to be about $700 million,
close to that $1 billion mark.
Donald Glover's supposed to be coming back.
The casting wasn't bad.
The Han Solo guy wasn't that great. The story wasn't very good. I can see him carrying that out with a better story.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you had that whole production issue where the movie was totally a different direction than what it was supposed to take or what someone thought it was supposed to be. Maybe that might have been the better version. Release the original cut. Let's see the movie.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad because Ron Howard did what he could. Same problem with Rogue One. That's the thing. Like, Rogue One.
Just Disney meddling probably too much and not really understanding what they have.
See, think about Rogue One. It came out right after Episode 7. So everybody was riding high with that one. And then it was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then they watched it to see it. And it's like, again, people rewatched it again because of the Vader scenes. Asia does not like Star Wars. You need to stop.
China only made $16 million.
How much?
$16
million. Stop releasing it there.
Japan, it does a little bit better there sometimes, but...
Only made... basically, $2 million more in Japan.
Yeah, so $2 million more. They need to stop trying so hard because they dump a lot of money into the Chinese theaters. They got to grease all the party palms and stuff and acquiesce to their demands. It's honestly not, oh, Lord have mercy. Somebody re-released Rogue One in the theaters and only made $447.
What?
They re-released it in Hungary July 9th. And it made $447.
Maybe for that movie, you might as well just go ahead and watch the first 5 minutes and then just skip to the end. Very little means anything throughout the middle of that movie. Remember the droid was okay?
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah, but apparently Solo was completely different. So much so that they couldn't get some of the actors back.
Yeah, because Michael K. Williams was supposed to be in it.
Yeah, Dryden Voss. Yeah, that is crazy.